I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far.
Cause it's just another day in the life of the boss.
I'm liking the results that I'm getting, and like Bethany said, you have to know when to pivot and make that shift. When things are not going right in the world or in your business, you have to learn how to make that pivot and learn, what do I need to change?
A lot of people are in debt, but that's why do not get that car before you get that house.
That's where the money is. Focus on my other brand deals, I would say, is the big money.
So collaborating with those big brands. Collaboration. Oh, yeah. Collaboration.
Tag them all and tag them. If you're eating their Publix cookies, tag Publix. If you're whatever brand you're wearing or is in your content, go ahead and tag them. Get their attention. And you know, they might be in your next DM.
Fresh line up, get fresh outfit. Bust a hat of parking lot on Smash.
I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you seen thus far.
Cause it's just another day in the life of the boss.
I've seen people in 5 years, in that 5-year plan, like they're on the high side, and then like you say, when they hit rock bottom, they run from it. But what I've noticed, and this is like with any business, but especially in event promoting, is it about you or is it about the people? I think a lot of people go wrong because they want to be cheered for. They want to be they want to be Diddy. It's me in front instead of the brand that you're building, the company that you're building is in front. You know, and I think that when you make those mistakes, it takes you back, and that's what can destroy you in 5 years.
They make money. They get paid. So don't think of a nonprofit as being a business that you do not get paid. At some point, you will get to that point where you're able to pay yourself from your nonprofit. But again, don't forget your why.
Entrepreneurship is not easy. I've cried so many nights. The money that I've thrown away trying to make this thing work. Y'all, please don't tell my husband because he may divorce me. But I say I give up so many times, but then I start again. And it's so important when you're an entrepreneurship to say, I'll get up and I'll do this again. I thank this man right here because he stands beside me. He supports me, and together we are going to make this thing work.
I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far. I'm the biggest boss that you've seen thus far.
What's up? What's up? What's up? Welcome to the Boss Fest Podcast Special Edition. I am your host, Kevin Butler, one half of the Boss Fest Podcast crew. And today we got something special for you. This conversation came up inadvertently. I felt like it would be best to have this with a group of men who are, you know, leaders in the community, people who are doing right things in their relationships and community and stuff like that. But more importantly, I wanted to get a man's opinion on this because the reason why this conversation came about is, if you missed last episode of the Boss Fest podcast, title of it was, Are You in Love with the Illusion of Success? Right? In that topic, you know, my partner, my wife, she hit me with one, right? And it was one of those things that kind of gut punched me a little bit as a man, as a provider, as somebody, you know, I always feel like I'm doing the right things to better my household, better my family, better my community. She kind of gut punched me a little bit. So I'm like, man, hey, is my way of thinking outdated? And do I need to elevate the game? So I wanted to bring some thinkers to the table, and we're going to have this conversation. And it's the new age relationship, right? So I'm rooted in old school dynamics. And am I right? Am I wrong? Do every man think like me? Do people think differently? So I definitely want to have this conversation with a group of men, because I knew if I tried to have this conversation with my wife on the actual podcast, with her in the room, it wasn't going to go right. But we're going to do this the way we got to do it. So I'm going to bring these people to the stage. I'm allow them to introduce themselves, and we're going to get right into it. So, coming to the Boss Fest table, virtual, we got Mr. Jason Gatlin. He's going to introduce himself to you people. We got Luis Munoz. I gotta say his real name. I ain't doing that. We got Luis Saint from This, That, and the Other podcast. And we got the doctor in the building, the therapist, Donald Luis. So without further ado, I'm going to bring these people onto the stage. I'm going to let them introduce themselves, and we're going to get into this topic. So let's go.
Yo, what's good? What's good? What's good?
Yeah, yo.
What's going on?
Yo, can everybody hear me?
Yes, sir.
There we go. There we go. We all added. Let me change the views around a little bit. Let's see what we can do.
What's up, fam? We in the building.
Yes, Lord.
All right. So this is what we're going to do. So we're going to start the introductions with the one from the furthest out from the community, the unknown, the one that's making big moves in Atlanta, Mr. Jason. So go ahead and introduce yourself to the people, boss.
What's up, people, man? It's glad to be here. Thank you, Mr. Butler. Man, I'm Jason Gatlin, guys. I did got a hemp company. Also wrote a book on habits, and also my latest thing, I wrote the Allure Celebrity Dating with Safari Samuels from Love and Hip Hop. So we got a bunch of stuff coming with that in the fall, some TV stuff. But I mean, I'm glad to be here. I mean, I'm all about wellness and habits and making us more efficient as men and as people in general. So, you know, our habits are a problem. So we solve the habits, we don't have no problems.
I like that.
What's up? Mr. G. Lewis, you up?
Good evening, everybody. My name is Donald Lewis. I'm a registered clinical social worker as well as a therapist. Glad to be on the podcast. What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
All right.
What's good, brother?
I'm going to bring Saint up next. I'm going to say, you got to say the best for last.
What's good, man? Thank you. Appreciate you having me on the show, man. I'm happy to be here, bro. I'm Ann St. James. One-fourth of the This, That, and the Other podcast. Husband, father, you know what I'm saying? Lover of life, musician. a little bit of everything. What is it? Jack of all trades.
He hit y'all with the Birdman hands, too.
Here
he
we
did
go. The man himself.
What up, man? It's your boy, Olu, from the This, That, and the Other podcast. You know what it is. Live every Thursday, 8:30-ish on Facebook.
Yes, sir.
What it is, man.
That's what's up. So fellas, y'all to introduce yourselves to the people. I know y'all heard a little bit of it. You can all be here. Do I still got it right?
You sound muffled. You're gonna have to put that mic in front of you.
Put some bass.
Let me know. Am I better?
It's better. There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. There you go. All right. Maybe I had to pull it away from my mouth because I'm trying to do everything tonight. Normally, I coordinate differently with the wifey on the phone.
That was crazy.
Tonight I'm running it around. So, all right. So,
reason
we're here today is because the wifey kind of gut punched me a little bit with the conversation we had on Wednesday, right? And I wanted to ask some other men about this, man, like in relationships, because like I said, you fellas in relationships, married, doing your thing, kids and stuff like that, man. So my first question is, how do you define?
I don't know if you guys can hear me. I ain't got no audio, though.
We can hear you.
I hear you all.
Good. Can you hear me?
He's going to come back in.
Who out? Am I out?
Nah,
I'm
Jason.
Jason, let me go. All right, so we're going to keep moving.
Hey, listen, Kev.
On the big screen.
How did Weena said you need to put your introduction, boss man. You do your introduction while he hops back in.
What?
Go ahead.
Nah, that wifey said you're gonna have to put your do your introduction.
There we go. We see him now.
Okay. I didn't have no audio. Audio without.
All right, you good. Everybody's good, right? Sound check good.
So everybody good. Like y'all good on my end. I don't know what y'all hearing.
Yeah, yeah, everybody.
Listen, Saint said that Wina's commenting and said you need to redo your introduction, bro.
Oh, am I going to introduce myself?
Yes, absolutely.
I guess. So let me introduce myself. I thought I started. So my name is Kevin Butler, husband, father, lover.
Fighter.
Boss. Slave. You know, just. I don't know. You know what? So. Today technically is a special day. It's inadvertently, you know how in relationships, you know, there are these random days that really don't have any real value, but they do. So today is the BET Awards, right? And the only reason why I can remember this is because technically this is supposed to be the day that me and my wife got together. Like our very first time talking to each other, meeting with each other. We started speaking at the very first BET Awards. So this is the 24th BET Awards. That means we've been together 23 years.
Hey.
So,
that bullshit up.
Damn, sound effects.
Man, I got sound effects, baby.
I ain't on new level.
So, all right, let's go. Let's go. We good now.
So, I'm going to go back to this intro because the question was, make sure I got it read, right? How did you define the role of a man? Who want to jump on it first? Anybody want to raise their hand? Once you start talking, I'm gonna move you to the big screen.
Don, go ahead. You're the therapist. What is the politically correct definition of what a man is?
Politically correct. I want what we were taught.
I don't know.
To figure out the politically correct shit. But if we were taught certain values as men to how we thought we supposed to behave, maybe these women ain't feeling no more. So yeah, I want to know, how did you define a man? It might be different the way I define a man. So it might be different for everybody. So who going to start me off?
Yeah, I got you. So I would say that the role of a man, if I heard the question correctly, is to lead, protect, and provide. Like that's the divine nature of men, right? Lead, protect, and provide. And so it starts there. If a man is not leading, and if a man is not protecting, and if a man is not providing, then he's already backwards. And I would say that the first person he needs to learn to lead, protect, and provide for is himself, right? Once he learns to lead, protect, and provide for himself, then he can lead, protect, and provide for a family.
Well, we know he got every book.
Yes.
But you know, another definition I would say of the man, see, I'm an alpha man, so I'm a little different. You know, I'm like caveman stuff, but I ain't gonna say that. But I'm definitely a man of God. So, I think you need to leave your family with prayer. I mean, you gotta start off, like I start my day every day praying at 6 a.m. I do a prayer with my wife. I mean, we sit down there and talk, and I make sure my kids are growing up in the right way. And I'm hard on my kids, but I want them to be dope. And I like what you said, I protect my family. I don't let nothing come in the way. And I think that's what men should do. Open up doors. I mean, you know, taking care of them, getting them flowers. I mean, you still got to date your significant other. Sure. I can't say the other sex is always ready for that. Cause you open, like when I was opening the door for my wife, she was like, I'm like, what? Can you get out of the way, please? Can I open the door for you? Can I just open it? I mean, yeah. She damn near beat me to the door. I'm like, I'm just trying to be a man. I'm trying to, you know, so everybody's not ready for, you know, I know I did go off a little, but go ahead.
Hey, just the conversation.
I would agree with everything that you guys said, and I would add to it if I will again, like navigate. You know what I'm saying? You're not only providing your own family, but you navigate where the trajectory of your family goes. You know what I mean? It's up to you, and then you know you pass that along. And what about me by navigating this to show, you know, your kids and, you know, the right path in life. Like you say, follow God. That's the first step right there. First step.
To put in mind, I agree also. You know, watching my father grow up, my father wasn't a person of many words. What he taught me more personally was that he was a man of action. So my father was never one to say, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to do this. He would just do it. So he was more, you know, set the example for us by actually doing the action. He was very, very, very stern, very strict, very firm. So I kind of took that in, but I also learned as a man and in my own journey, you have to kind of balance all that out. You can't always be, you know what I'm saying, aggressive and always be not necessarily alpha, because obviously the alpha, you have to have a certain, you know, there has to be a lead. There has to be a head. There's a tail, there's definitely a head. So, but you have to find balance between all of that. And I think that today's man struggles a lot with trying to find what the balance is. You know what I mean? Especially when today's woman is not yesterday's woman. You feel me? So
they definitely get an alpha if you ain't the alpha.
Absolutely. And I think that that's where a lot of times today, these relationships, you know, a lot of times we bump heads because sometimes, you know, men, we grow up surviving. You know what I mean? Like you got to figure it out. That's what everybody said. You as a man, you have to figure it out. So we learned that at a very young age. Women, you know, they learn that at a young age as well, but it comes a point in time that once they get with their husband or with their significant other, now it's time to let him take over. You know what I'm saying? And I think that a lot of times causes friction.
I like what Martino commented on here.
I'll bring it back up. Okay. There you go.
People believe what they see, not what they hear. We as women don't. It's so small.
I want you to tell us that you're going to lead. We need to see it. That's why I said action. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
That's that action part.
But you know what I love about that is men sometimes need to link up and stop being so alpha and really have the conversation. Like, bro, how are you lead to be able to lean on somebody else? To lean on somebody else and ask them, you know, how do you deal with your communication with your wife? How do you deal with your kids? I think we need to be having those conversations as men, because if not, you're on your own island thinking what you're doing is efficient and you could be running. I mean, there's no exact way to do it, but it always helps when you got somebody to lean on, because your situation ain't, you know, it's just not your situation. It's your friend's situation. Just like I got in a discussion, I was in Florida and I talked to this guy and he was telling me about the issue he had with his wife. And I had the exact same issue, you know, and it was nice to be able to share that, you know, feelings versus facts, which I know you guys understand that one. but it's crazy. Yeah. Some guy I have no clue of knowing, and I talk to him, and it just feels good to kind of get, you know what I mean, be able to link up and have those conversations with other men.
Definitely.
Jazzy asked the question. She said, do you feel that it should always be an environmental or an environment of figuring it out, or should you always have the resources that you can readily go to? That's a good question.
So, that's a good question, but the question is, where are the resources going at? So for me, I think about it two different ways. Look at it this way. So there are men, so we know, especially in our communities, black and brown communities, sometimes the father wasn't necessarily there. So I asked this question first before we dig into that. How many of us grew up with our father in the household?
I definitely did.
Absolutely.
So 1, 2, 3, 4. D. Lewis, where you at? I ain't see your response.
No, that was my response. I didn't.
There you go. He didn't. So one of the four right now did not grow up with a father in the household. And the question is, how did that shape your dynamic as how you see a man? Because we may see something different. So we may, as men who saw men in the household, and now we're not even saying that their examples were the best examples. Because I know for my father, I didn't really see my father like love my mother. I knew he cared for her. I knew he loved her. But how you see on the movies and the flowers and the kissing and all that affectionate shit, that didn't play out in my household. So for me, I interpreted love differently. And I don't know. Like sometimes that's a struggle with me and my wife sometimes. I'm like, man, damn, like I'm giving you everything you want and more. And I think I'm doing better than the example I was giving. Why ain't that enough? Shit.
Yeah. I think so. I think it's really a difficult answer to have, really, because I didn't have a father figure. So it's hard to gauge something that you don't have, right? It's really like a difficult question to gauge. But what I will say is, I think for me, I grew up looking at men probably from like the entertainment perspective, and thought to myself like, okay, that's what a man is. You know, based upon what I saw. Again, I didn't grow up with a father figure. My stepfather came into my life when I was around 16. So I was already almost a man before, you know, I had like a real, like true father figure that came into my life. So I would say, and also too, I would say that maybe, my situation is a little bit different. I would say, if anything, I, as a man, what I had to learn was really how to be a man, because I think because I grew up with just in a single parent household, my mother and my three sisters, even though I was a man from the standpoint of having all of the biological things that you need, effectively in the way I process things was still very much like a woman.
In my household, I guess it would go kind of back to what Martina was referring to. Like my father, even though he was there my whole life, but he spent most of my life working to put food on the table, right? So, and he really never like sat me down and, you know, this is what it is to be a man. And he kind of just led with action. So I kind of just watched him, you know, my whole life, you know. And as far as like showing emotion to my mother, I mean, it was kind of like yours, Kevin, but like, you know, special occasions, birthdays and stuff like that. But it wasn't like an extra amount of emotion.
I didn't even see it on birthdays, you know, special occasions. It was just... Right. Was the lights on? Was the water on? Was it food?
Right,
in the
That's it.
That's what it means.
My father was a military man, drill sergeant, military man. Top it off, he's a Puerto Rican guy from the Bronx in Puerto Rico. So that takes it a whole another realm right there, right? So my dad never really like sat me down and said, this is what it takes to be a man. Every now and then when he had a little too much Heineken's in the system or something like that, but I was kind of the same way, man. Just kind of learned to be a man just by watching and observing my dad and, you know, uncles and stuff like that and people around me, the community around me.
You know, one thing I will say, you know, my father and my mother, me becoming a father at a young age, I remember my mother would compare me to my dad, right? And there would be instances where my kids would be present and I would do something, you know what I mean, with my kids, or do something for my kids, or go bathe them, or do something, you know, something like that along those lines. And my mom would look at me and tell my dad, he's a better father than you were. You see what I'm saying? And then when I look, I laugh, you know, I laugh about it. And I'm like, you know, I didn't see why she would say that. You know what I mean? But then thinking back to my childhood, I'd be like, well, damn, you know, I understand, because the person that was always doing everything for me was my mother. You know what I mean? My mother would wake me up in the morning. She would get me ready, you know, for school. She would, you know, have breakfast. She would have everything lined up. You know what I'm saying? When I got home from school, you know, she had, you know, dinner already ready from the morning. Like everything was always my mom. You know what I mean? And like Lou said, you know, a lot of times my father, I would just always remember him working. Like that's all he did. He grinded. That was the breadwinner. Go ahead.
Now I would say, so the demographic of our fathers, and like my dad, he worked a lot, but he also, you know, coached football, and he was also, you know, he was our coach, but the demographic of those men and who we are today is totally different. I mean, mental health has blown up. I mean,
we
have the tools to be able to love different and to open up and communicate and still not be looked at like something wrong with us. I know some men do that, like, oh, you soft for saying that you care.
You're a weak ass man.
I got a 4 and a 5 year old and I'm hard on them, but I'm definitely hugging them. I'm telling them I'm loving them.
They're kissing on them.
They might be doing some crab crawls, but you know, I'm making men out of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and I think that's the bad yet good thing about, you know, and our parents, they just didn't have those tools that we had.
I also think that, you know, everybody can't be playing the same role. Mm. Right. And so in the dynamic of a relationship or raising children or whatever, I think there is a certain level of interdependence, but I also think that there's a certain level of independence that has to be had as well, right? Yeah. And so when you look at relationships, what we find is that women tend to play a more nurturing role while fathers tend to play more of that provider type of role.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just say that to say, like, I do think that there is a certain level of both that needs to happen, balance that needs to happen. And that's not to say that fathers shouldn't be involved in their children's lives. They absolutely should be. But I also think that there is a balance that has to take place, right? Because to a certain extent, we can't all be this huggy and kissy and stuff like that, because bills still got to be paid, right? So there is a balance that does have to occur. And sometimes I believe that one parent is going to lead to one side and one parent is going to lead to the other. And I think that's okay, because it is the balance of it that makes it work for the child.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to transition this topic.
So,
what type of character traits do you believe a man wants in a woman?
I need a go-getter. I need somebody who can think. I don't prescribe to the old traditional stay in the house and you know, and make my clothes and cook. I don't need that. I need a partner. I know somebody who wants to build an empire, and that's what I have it on. My wife can build. I mean, she's a doctor. I mean, we have businesses together. You know what I mean? She gets it. It's about balance. So,
right.
She actually wrote a book, The Modern Trophy Wife. So it's not the traditional. It's like the new age modern women. So it's also a problem balancing that alpha. That's always an issue too. But I guess that comes with being married, right?
Right. And from my perspective, man, I need a teammate, man. You know, that when I go out and do these things that kind of against the grain, like, for example, me starting a podcast, like, that was foreign to my wife, you know what I mean? And at first, I ain't gonna lie, she was like, you know what? I don't understand that. But then she bought me the microphone, my first microphone, and it wasn't up since, you know what I mean? So, and even with my crazy ideas that I have, you know, it's still kind of foreign to her, but, you know, she's always, you know, got my back, and, you know, and that's what I think every man should have, you know, because, man, we're gonna do, you know, especially the modern man, we're not just settling just working a 9-to-5 anymore, man. We out here trying to, you know, make other sources of income. And it might be crazy ideas to a woman, but, you know, if you ride with your man, that's always a great thing. And I think things more men can accomplish more in life with a teammate and a supporter, even if it sounds crazy. You know what I mean?
I think I'm a firm believer, man, and there's somebody for everybody. You know what I mean? You know, for us to sit here and put a specific type or a category for a specific person and say this is, you know, the blanket for everybody is a little bit, you know, naive to say. You know what I mean? You've got some people that they need a strong woman because they have a strong character. I'm one of those people. I'm a strong man. I'm a strong-minded man. I'm a very opinionated man. I stand on business. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to speak my mind. Sometimes a little bit too much. You know what I mean? But my wife is that counterbalance that'll be quick and be like, shut your ass up. You know what I mean? And I'll be like, whoo. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's crazy because, you know, you go through life in situations and you're like, you know, you're like, oh, I never let or never allowed anybody to speak to me that way. You know what I mean? But then you have that, and it's done in a way where it's like, okay, you know what I mean? And then it makes you think outside of your thought process, your normal thought process, be like, okay, I see the reasoning behind why she's so strong. You know what I mean? So I feel like you need a woman that's strong, supportive, obviously, love, man. I think a lot of men these days don't get enough affection and love. I've always, it's something that I hear a lot, and it bothers me a lot, honestly, when I hear it. People say, women say, oh, you know, these men nowadays want a mama, right? They want a mama. Now, this is my thought process. If I want a mama, you want a daddy.
Ooh,
because you want a man to take care of you, to provide for you, to do everything, you know what I mean, that you have to protect you. So you're criticizing a man who wants a mama, but you want a man that lives up to what your daddy showed you. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of in those situations, you gotta be like, you know, you want a man to do this and do that for you and support you and protect you and be there for you the way your father taught you that you deserve, you know, you deserve the world. But my mother taught me that I deserve the world too.
Big fan.
My mother taught me, you know, that I deserve to be loved. My mother taught me that, you know, I deserve a hug and a kiss. You know, my mom taught me that, you know, my opinion matters. You know what I'm saying? So it's definitely a balance, man. And I love that word balance because it really goes across a massive threshold of what it is in relationships. You know what I mean?
But you know, that kind of goes into love languages. It's like, you know, you might love on your significant other a certain way, but that's not how she wants to be loved. So that can be real confusing. Like her love
that is
acts of service. So she's doing stuff for you, but he's like, nah, I need a back rub.
Facts.
Throw it back one time. I mean, that's what I need.
Now, Jason touched on another book.
That's another one.
Yeah, I would say I agree with Saint in the sense of like the question is a little too objective, right? To really like define it and say like what all men need. I think every man has to kind of figure out what it is that he needs and what works for him. I would say for me, the first thing I need is a feminine woman, right? I need a woman that's feminine towards me, right? That just her feminine energy helps me to work more in my masculine energy. So. That's number one that I need. Number two, I need an attractive woman, right? I need to be able to wake up the next day and still feel how I felt when we was banging last night. So that's number two, right? Number three, I need somebody that's trustworthy. And how I define trustworthiness is if I can't trust you to take care of your business, how can I trust you to take care of ours?
Mine.
And then of course, number four is going to be respect, right? It's all about respect. It's not always about what you say, it's about how you say it. Right, the tonality of what's being said, the approach about what's being said. I try to be pretty much an open book. So if I'm shutting down, it's probably a reason. Probably the approach, probably not the question, but probably the approach is what maybe turned me off. So the respect factor is always going to be something that's important for me as well.
I think trust is a very big one too, and your aspect of trust. You know, so this, you know, to break down trust, like your what you just said about trust, and then there's the other side of trust. Like, I need to know if I can trust my significant other to walk into a room full of vultures and make it out all right. You know what I mean? And without, you know what I'm saying? Without being, you know, so with me, there's like a diagram of love, right? And half of that, if not more, is trust. Like, you can't fully love someone without trusting them, right?
You said you can't love somebody without trusting them.
I think you can love somebody without trusting them.
That's a fact.
I think
100%.
Yeah,
100%.
I got love for a lot of people that I don't trust, bro.
100%. I'm talking about your significant other, dog.
Same,
your wife, your girlfriend.
Right,
but see, I feel like if you don't trust your significant other, it's gonna be war in the house. Cause phone call coming, you're gonna see that text message. It's gonna be like, nah. I mean, I can't move like that. Like, it just You know what I mean? And then your mind starts to play with you, like, oh, you thinking this, and she said that, and that's just, you know what I mean? You gotta, when you love somebody, we can trust and you can, but yeah, that,
I think. I agree. I just think that the love and trust are two different things, right? They're two different ideas. I can love you and not trust you, right? Mm. There's a lot of people I love, but you know, if I know that you steal, I ain't leaving my wallet around you, bro.
That's the fact. That's just that'd be ignorant.
You know what I mean? So I think you can love your spouse, but not necessarily trust your spouse. Your spouse may have shown themselves distrustworthy.
How can you not trust your spouse?
If you can't trust your spouse, it's time to go to counseling. We're going to have to figure this thing
out. I'm saying.
And house is going to be rocking.
Don said, holla at me.
And I said that it's different than trust, right? Love is something completely different than trust. I can trust you and not love you.
I don't know, man, because like I said, with me, and this is just me, like I said, if I'm looking at the diagram of love, I need that trust to be about 50% or more, man. I can't, like, even, let's take it back. Not just me. So let's talk about the woman that don't trust you.
Right.
You know what I
mean? But I think
how much problem that brings to the relationship.
I just think that's two different arguments, right? Me loving you and me making the relationship work are two different ideas, right? So, yes, do I need trust? I don't need trust to be in a relationship. I mean, I don't need trust to love you, but I do need trust in order for the relationship to work.
Right. But let me throw this one at
you.
Trying to say the same thing.
So if I'm
going to... No, y'all ain't. Somebody say something else. Shit, y'all saying some different shit.
Kevin, what's your theory behind
it? Go ahead, Jason. What you just want to say? My bad.
So I was thinking, so, you know, I'm a Christian brother, so I'm going to go to the good word. So it says that we are supposed to love them as men. And what we should get in return is respect. That's what we value, like a lot of men value more. Or that's what it says in there, respect. And I mean, basically, I mean, that's because my wife can say she loved me all she want, but if she ain't respecting me, I'm
she don't love you.
If I can't trust her, you know what I mean? I'm feeling some type of way. And I'm sure you men might feel the same way. So,
no, yeah, definitely.
How do you define respect?
Good question,
right there,
Kevin.
That's a tough question. I mean, I know
when
it happened.
The tough question is, how do you define it? I ain't saying how every man, how do you define respect? Because I know I may define it differently.
What's your definition?
My definition of respect? Let's see. In my household, my definition of respect is I'll put in an example. So let's say that we out and we doing something, right?
And we got the eyeballs.
I'm sorry. Better now.
She might swing on you.
No, I'm saying your wife got the eyeballs. She watching.
She got the eyeballs. We know. But this is how I define it, right? And I know it's challenging for her to kind of decipher it from time to time, but this is how I define respect. So we both got our personalities. I love her character trait. She loves mine or not, whatever. But there are certain moments when I feel like If you see that I'm elevating myself to be that leader, stand back. Let me have it. Whether I'm right, whether I'm wrong, whatever. Let me have that moment. And then after that moment is done, if I was wrong, then we come and talk about it and have that conversation. Mm. But sometimes with these new age women, they want to start speaking real quick. No. Man, listen. Both of us can't be masculine at the same damn time. Somebody gotta be feminine. And I ain't trying to take that role. There'll be times where I can stand back and I can let you have certain energy. But when you see my masculine energy on display, stand down.
The woman is more dominant, and maybe she's bringing that to this new relationship. And it's about when people are coming together, it's combining those worlds and learning how to communicate. But like you said, that woman might be giving that energy just because she used to, or maybe that's, you know, I don't know. Or maybe that's the conversation you guys might need to have. But it's hard when you're dealing with an alpha woman.
Yeah.
Mm. Who wants an alpha woman?
I got an alpha woman, bro.
I got an alpha woman.
And I understand there are certain times where an alpha woman, like when you think about dynamics now in the workplace and how we live now, like no woman is going to put no woman is gonna leave, gonna have a big family of 6 or 7 kids and live in a 2-bedroom house like our parents and our grandparents did, right?
Absolutely.
We got 7 kids, each kid need a room. So it's gonna take both incomes to make that happen, and it's a different dynamic now. All I'm saying is that and a lot more women now are having to be the bosses in the workplace. But is there a cutoff between that alpha energy between the workplace and the house? And what do we do about it?
Yeah, I think a lot of modern women have like alpha woman energy, right? I also think that when they run into a man who kind of displays that energy or does display that energy, I do seem to think that women tend to go more of the feminine way, right? Now, when I say like alpha energy, I'm not saying being like overly aggressive or anything like that, because again, sometimes it's not what you say, it's about how you say, and also it's about action, right? It's hard to argue with facts, right? It's hard to argue with when I'm leading, not just saying what I'm doing, but when I'm leading with what I'm doing, it's kind of hard to argue with, right? So I think that a lot of modern women have alpha energy, but I do also find that when they went up against a man who has that kind of alpha energy, right, who's not just a talker, but he's also a doer, a lot of times, at least in my experience, I've seen that energy subside to more feminine energy, at least in my experience, I should say.
I think a lot of women
in the books, I put it on the screen. So
I've seen that men lack alpha energy.
Men lack alpha energy.
Mm-hmm. Some do.
Yeah, she do. I think she has a good point there.
She said men, like she generalizing all.
Yeah, you can't generalize all men.
We may have our moments, but are you saying that? Because remember, if you define that alpha energy, if nobody wants to be, if women don't want to be your mama or your grandma, why they keep looking for their daddy or their grandpa?
In a man.
That's all I'm saying.
Let me ask.
Women keep telling you all the time, I ain't your mama, I ain't your grandma, I ain't doing all that shit. But why you keep your daddy and your grandpa with me? Yeah, that boy was on the streets doing his thing. He might have been doing some stuff. So what?
And handling business at home.
Huh? I'm sorry. I digress. I'm gonna let y'all have this.
So, question I bring to that is: does an alpha man have to be alpha all day, every day?
Yeah. Nah, I don't believe so. I believe there's a time and a place for everything.
Now, I know how to sit down and take a back seat and let my wife do what she do. Because she's making my life easier anyway. So if I ain't got to be the alpha all the time, I ain't got to be the alpha. But when it's time to be the alpha, I'm ready. I'm ready to go.
I think with today's society, I think with the roles that women have taken on, it's hard for them to turn off that alpha. You know what I mean? A lot of women in today's society, they are bosses in their own rights, and even in the world, you know, like working world. You know what I mean? A lot of them women are managers and supervisors, entrepreneurs. They make their own businesses. They're mothers. Mothers are bosses. You know what I mean? They got to boss little kids around. Their kids around. You know what I mean? And there comes a point in time where I think it's hard for them to make that switch or turn that switch off. But sometimes it's a man's fault too, because that man doesn't take over that to allow them to be in their feminine energy. You feel me?
Yeah. And I love what you said, because I think it's love and trust. So of course they have to know that you love them and they're in a safe place. And they also have to be able to trust that you won't take care of the business that you need to take care of. Because some of these households, the women are the breadwinners. But if they need you to take care of what you need to take care of, you're not doing it, then she's going to bring her energy and take over. I mean, I feel like most women want to, you know, let that guard down. But we have to be able to make space to allow them to do that.
I think a man should always be alpha. But I think it depends on how you define what alpha is. So, like, for example, right, I believe in knowing your strengths and weaknesses. And I believe that if I'm going to date a woman, one of the things I look for is she strong in the areas where I'm not as strong in? Is she proficient in the areas that I'm not as proficient in? Because sometimes a good leader understands that he has to allow somebody else to lead or take that lead role because they're just better at it than I am. Right?
Every successful leadership CEO knows the meaning of delegation.
Correct. Right. Correct. Leadership is about influence. And this is where I think a lot of us as men have got it wrong, right? We think it's about just, you know, being the guy that's out in front. No, leadership is about influence. And so if I understand the dynamic of my relationship correctly, and I understand that she's better at this certain thing than I am, why wouldn't I allow her to do that?
You just take the words right out of my mouth.
I don't. In order to be a leader, I don't have to be the one that's out front all the time. She can be out front. If she's better at that, why would I? Right.
Because by all means.
Now what I'm doing is I'm actually bringing the relationship down because I'm actually fighting against her. We're not moving in the same direction, right? And so for me, when I look at leadership, I don't just look at or being alpha. I don't look at it as I got to be the one that's in charge all the time. I look at it as okay. If I understand the dynamic and if I'm leading correctly, I understand that she's better at handling money than I am. So you know what, babe? Hey, handle that.
Handle it.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I agree 1,000% on that. And so I know what my wife is better than me at. So like with our household, I make the money. I work hard. I'm not always good with money because I like to, you know, splurge a little bit. So, hey, handle that. You know, and I got this, you got that. I know what I can do and what I can't do. So whatever I can't handle, you get that, you get that. You know, so yeah, I'm all for that right there. I don't know if that's everybody's definition, quote unquote, of alpha man, but
right,
it works for me in my life.
Right.
I mean, you got a lot of people these days, women and men, you know what I'm saying, that they want something that in the opposite. That they, you know, like you say, they lack, you know what I mean? It's hard to say or tell a man, you know what I mean? I need you to be a man. I need you to handle this. I need you to handle this. And then you turn around and tell that same woman, I need you to be a woman. I need you to be, you know, take care of things at home. I need, you know, cook dinner. I need you to, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then they look at you crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're trying to make on their mama and your grandma again. You want them to cook your food and wash your drawers.
But you get what? Nah, but you get what I'm saying. So you got to understand that there's on both ends, there has to be a room for vulnerability. You know what I mean? You have to allow yourself that vulnerable space for your partner to go ahead and take over, or you know, take that and run with it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you have to have that trust in them. That they're not gonna make you look stupid. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
You have to be able to do that.
You don't staff your strengths, you staff your weaknesses.
Absolutely.
So that your weaknesses can become strengths.
Mm.
And you know, I also believe that you have to communicate, and so you guys can kind of be on one accord of how that household or what you guys are doing so it makes sense. And then when the other person falls, you got to be able to give them grace. You got to give them grace.
Absolutely.
100%. And that sometimes is annoying because it didn't happen like 7 times. It's like, look, I didn't, how much grace we giving?
Yeah.
But
and I mean, think also, I'm sorry.
That's when you got to have a talk or a conversation. Or maybe she just worked so hard that day. Maybe she need a foot rub. Maybe you need to love on her a little bit just so she can do the things that you need. And it's hard sometimes because I'm not going to lie. Women sometimes they go for the dagger. They like talking to you. You know, you try to be all nice and stay nice, and she like, nigga, I hate you. I'm like, it's about chopsticks and French toast. What are we doing here?
Yeah, they go for the gusto. They go for the gusto.
Right. So I mean, I definitely think as men, we have to really just give grace. And communicate the best we can, and try to figure out how these situations are going to work. Because I mean, a lot of times it's a breakdown in communication. Why things are going left, right? So.
Yeah, I agree. I think also too, to Jason's point, I think we also got to give grace to ourselves, right? I think a lot of us as men are just a little too hard on ourselves as men. A lot of us didn't grow up with like role models and, you know, these perfect figures of men and stuff like that. So a lot of us did have to learn it on the fly. You know what I mean? Like, we had to learn it as we went. You know, everybody kind of shared a little bit about their experiences with their fathers in the home. And one of the common things that I heard was, hey, you know, even though dad was a provider, there were some things that dad lacked in terms of maybe a connection with us emotionally or connecting with mom emotionally or something like that. And so we had to kind of learn how to do that with our significant others. So I think we also got to give ourselves some grace as well.
Yeah, T-Face said that. We like to receive grace, but we don't like to extend grace. T-Face.
Right.
She said, we like to receive grace as women, but they don't like to extend
grace. I don't know. It depends, man. It depends because, you know, it depends. I know a lot of women that showed a lot of men a lot of grace.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I've seen it, but I've seen it with sorry ass men. I seen women give sorry ass men a lot of grace.
Listen,
I don't see them give it to men who trying to hold it down and do it real good.
I'm
doing good, probably not doing what the other guy's doing because he's, you know what I mean? He's holding her down, you know what I mean? On the late night when the others, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I wish you know, I'm just saying,
He-Man up in here. Not that I'm that person.
I'm just saying, I've seen a lot of women give a lot of grace to some guys. So I don't know if that's just a rule overall.
That shit even goes with kids and kids' fathers. You know what I mean? You always have some mothers who have, you know, multiple kids' fathers, and the one that they give the hard time is the guy that does the most.
Yep, absolutely.
You know, you can have that deadbeat as baby daddy. Man, you'd be lucky if you get $20 from him every 6 months. Right. But the guy that faithfully makes that $500 payment monthly, if he fails one time to make that $500 a month, it's the end of the world.
Right.
That's the end of the world. I ain't trying to hear that shit.
Yep.
I'm sending them people after you. I don't give a shit, which is crazy. So, they need to understand that. If you're going to hold a standard, hold that standard across the board.
Sure.
So what do you men think about like the two forms of the communication? Like, I know men are a lot of times we're factual versus a lot of women are more feeling. I mean, for me, that is so hard because it's like, it's a brown tree over there. Like the tree is literally brown, but it's like ice cream or something. Like, no, it's not ice cream. It's a tree, but you can't, feelings are true. You can't tell because it's what they feel. It's what somebody feels. So you can't say that that's not right or it's not true because now you're like a conundrum of a circle. So it's like, here we go.
That's always been something though with us as men that, you know, we're not beings that are allowed to be motivated by feelings and emotions.
Right.
You know, for us as men, it's, you know, this is what it is. You know what I mean? If that's what it is, this is the process. You know what I mean? I think women naturally they're going to question it. And it's not necessarily to discredit you or to say that you're wrong or to say you're, you know, whatever. I think it's more or less to challenge, to see if there is something different that could be, you know what I mean? A lot of times I think women with their husbands, they might put you in a situation where you say, you know, I can't do this. You know, this is how this is and this is it. And she tells you, why not? You know what I mean? And then if you really step back and take that step back and think about it, be like, maybe there is another way. Remember, not all roads, you know, there's not always just one road. Multiple roads can lead to the same road. You know what I mean? Ultimately. And I think a lot of times men, you know, we're A to B. You know what I mean? It's from A to B. I'm not trying to go C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K to come back to B. You know? Exactly. And a lot of times that's where we have that disconnect. And I think that's where we carry that friction sometimes with them.
Yeah, I would say I think that polarity is important. So I do think that it is important that, you know, you do have somebody that is a little bit more fact-based and you have somebody that's a little bit more feeling-based, right? The polarity is important. What I would say, something that I had to be more cognizant of, is learning how to speak to the emotions of my woman. You know, because you're right? Talking to her is like battling her with logic may not always connect, right? But if I learn to speak to her emotion, then it kind of helps me to connect more, even if she doesn't maybe agree or necessarily can see my point. I've at least made that some sort of connection with her, right? I read that in a book. There's a book called The Masculine in a Relationship by a guy named G.S. Youngblood, And he talks a little bit about how, as men, we have to learn to speak to the emotion of our women and not just to their logical aspect of it.
Right.
And that's something that I had to be more cognizant of. Like, okay, this is the way I think. Okay, that's cool. But how do I kind of speak it in a way? And Jason talked about the five love languages, right? How do I speak to it in a way not that I understand, but that she understands what it is that I'm trying to say?
Yo, Vic said a word, boy.
Hey, man, everybody's saying words. Y'all
everybody is. Jazzy.
Can't be attached to false realities. There has to be accountability for that through
effective communication. Communication.
Shout out to Vic.
Yeah.
Shout out to Vic, girl.
Yeah. Shout out to Vic.
Communication is key. Essentially, communication is key.
Vic, drop that. Drop your book in there too, man. Drop your book in the chat, bro.
Yeah. So if I didn't go ahead and chop it up.
Listen, but you know, I may do a whole special.
Somebody
on
else's love, how to understand the communication style of women to men, especially when you're inside of the conversation. You don't know how it went left based off something basic, but it's taking a step back. Really,
I'm gonna bring the call in line for somebody if they want to. They want to join the conversation. We're gonna try something tonight.
Hold on, go ahead, Jason.
Go ahead, Jason. Finish your point. I'm going to bring you on the big screen. Run your point, Jason.
Yeah, I was saying, so learning how to, communicating in that person's language. So, I mean, sometimes when you're in the heat of a conversation, it's not making sense to us. We can't understand why it don't make no sense. It's just being able to step back and relive that situation and look how you can do that better and what she needs to get that point across. Because at the end of the day, you're trying to get a point across, she's trying to get one. It's being able to connect and understand what we're saying. It's just hard sometimes in that moment, but I guess that's when grace takes place, but yeah, sometimes that grace be hard. I ain't gonna lie, the grace is hard.
So I got a question. How do you guys feel when it comes to the topic of traumas? Because obviously that's baggage that people bring into relationships. You know what I mean? There could be childhood traumas. There could be relationship traumas, whatever. When they bring it into a new relationship, what is y'all's stance on how do you handle that? How do you go about that? Should it be you should handle your trauma before you get with me? Or, you know what, you know, I'm not trying to be understanding of your traumas because that's your business. How do you guys see those situations?
I feel like as a man at this point in time, we need to be getting counseling. Like like not just talking to your friend, you need to actually get a physical counselor to be able to deal with some of these issues. Now, if you both have a counselor and she is some of your trauma or he is some of your trauma, then the other person needs to realize if I say this, this is gonna tick him off. So I can't say this because we're gonna be in World War IX. Nobody wants to be in World War IX. So it's just understanding the communication and the dialogue between the two and just being cognizant of what really can set somebody off. But honestly, the triggers, we still have to work on that as men and women and understanding our partners.
Absolutely. What's up, therapist? What you think?
That's something I definitely struggle with in my relationship, man. Especially at the beginning, you know, sometimes I feel like it sounds kind of messed up, but sometimes I used to feel like, and I still do that, I don't have the patience all the time to deal with anybody's trauma because I got my own, right? But so my life, like I tell everybody on the pod, saying, you know what it is, my favorite word is growth. Pause if needed. But life to me is full of, it's never too late for growth, right? And
absolutely.
So with that being said, man, that's something I'm still have to work with, you know, even though I got a lot better at it.
It's so hard to sacrifice as men because we're told we need to sacrifice our emotions, our thoughts, our feelings to cater to the, you know, the woman. It's just it's hard. You know what I mean? So especially if you're not getting the love that's coming back to you, I mean, it definitely takes a toll on us. But yeah.
I don't know. It's tough.
Yeah. So that's I would say as a therapist, the one thing I'm not interested in is doing therapy in my personal relationship.
Mm. Ooh, shit.
Right.
That's so crazy.
So when it comes to traumas, and things of that nature. I feel like it's my responsibility to handle my trauma. I feel like it's her responsibility to handle her trauma.
Handle hers.
Right? Now, by the same token, right, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can't talk about certain things, right? Because we absolutely can. But I know for me, particularly because of my profession, I have to be very careful about, because I have a natural gravitation towards hurt people based upon, because I'm a healer. That's my characteristic. That's my character trait, right? I'm a healer. That's why I got into the field of therapy. So I have to be careful as a healer that I don't attract hurt people in my personal relationships.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Mm.
That's hard.
That's what
they be cute. You be getting cute hurt ones.
that's why you always get those females that say, "Oh, I always thought I could fix them."
Right. Mm-hmm. True.
Right.
You see what I mean? You always get that, and you hear that shit in a lot of conversation with relationships. You know, I thought I could fix him. I thought I could make him better. I thought I could make her better. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
I agree, because again, I have to always be careful about that too, because again, I just have that natural gravitation, right? I'm a healer. It's my character trait, right? So I have to just be careful that I am not trying to do that in my personal life, because she's not my client.
Right.
Mm. Yeah, right? She's your partner.
That's
she's
my partner, your partner, right? Yeah. The relationship that we're trying to build is not a therapeutic relationship.
But as a man, when you get married, I mean, first of all, you're going to get the, what do they call it?
Talk to them,
what's the word? The representative. You're going to get the representative. But once you put that ring on, you're going to get everything. So then that is our job to be the counselor. That is our job to manage your household. If not, it's going to be all hell. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's sometimes when we need a counselor to help us with those situations, because we can't. Hard to be the, like you said, the counter in our own relationship, but we have to do that.
Yeah, again, I would argue, again, there are there certain topics that we can talk about and certain things that we need to talk about, but again, we're not practicing psychotherapy in my relationship.
Oh, no.
We're just not doing that.
You chose the wrong one.
Right, exactly. I'm not here to try to fix you and try to make you into something and all that.
See, counseling and managing is two totally different things.
Let's be real. How often do they listen to us anyway?
So, listen, I take a different approach to this. So, for me, when I think about, you know, whatever traumas and so dealing with your traumas, what I believe is whatever traumas are mine are mine. Whatever trauma are hers are ours.
Right. Mm-mm.
Okay.
Okay.
Talk to him, Kevin.
Whatever traumas are mine are mine.
Bars.
Whatever traumas are hers are ours, so we got to work through her traumas.
Right.
I don't know if I actually have the ability to share all of my traumas. Even like I said, 23 years, I'm still not sharing all of my traumas because I don't want that shit used against me whenever she's in her feelings mode.
See,
you ready for a
she in her feelings moment, I ain't trying to hear that shit because now I expose some trauma. And now you hit me with your feelings moment, and I'm supposed to recover? No, I ain't dealt with my own shit.
Are you ready for a rebuttal though, Kevin?
Of course, that's the out of conversation. Run it.
So whether or not you are consciously displaying your traumas, you're still probably subconsciously displaying your traumas.
Right.
Okay. Trauma doesn't go away just because you're not talking about it.
Yeah.
It still exists.
You can act on it.
And it's still expressing itself, right? We just might be refusing in identifying or accepting the fact that it's still expressing itself. So, you know, being void of emotion, right, in certain emotional situations is a sign of some sort of trauma. Mm.
But see, that's why I'm all about everybody need a counselor.
I agree.
We all have something built up in there. Everybody counting that 45-pound weight on our back. And once you get that off, you feel so much better. You handle situations better. Like, I had some issues with my dad and trauma growing up with, you know what I mean, where I lived. And once I spoke with a counselor, once we had a marriage counselor, it just helped me. I feel so much better. I mean, I move better. Stuff I don't have to worry about. And even almost dying in that Lambo accident, like, the counselor helped me get through that. Like, I can drive. I don't have to worry about just some of these things that you got to work through as a man, but I really think that helps. And we don't need to be afraid to get help. I mean, it's actually helping us do become better and more efficient people, even though a lot of men don't want to get a counselor. I mean, it is what it is. It's not a weakness. It's helping you become your superhero.
Absolutely. Shout out to my therapist. Shout out to my therapist, by the way.
Right. Shout out to all our therapists.
Shout out to all. I'm have to go find a therapist. I see that now. I have to go find a therapist. But yeah. I'm gonna transition one more time.
I just want to make this one point. Right. So I work in substance abuse. Right. I work in substance abuse. Just because my clients come to me and tell me they don't have a substance abuse disorder doesn't mean they don't have a substance abuse disorder.
Right.
It just means they're just not accepting it.
They're not acknowledging it.
They're not acknowledging it. So they can't get help because they're not acknowledged.
Facts. What was you gonna say, Lou?
Before you move on, Kevin, like I'm a guy who's never been to therapy, right? And I never thought about going to therapy. I do know that therapy is a healthy tool for a lot of people, gets them where they need to be in life. I, for one, have never had therapy. My therapist is guys like you. Oh, I talk to in my life every day. My closest friends, I call my brothers. You know, I got three sisters. They're all my therapists.
We are not certified.
I don't know how to ask this question. So, Jason, like you seem real big on therapy. Like, how much did it take for you to say, okay, I need a therapist? Because, you know, as we are raised to be like, man, you know, deal with your problems by yourself. You know what I mean? Or deal with it the best way you can. You know what I mean? I don't know if I'm making sense, but I just feel like therapy for me is probably like going to an actual therapist and it'd be my last option. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think for me it was, for one, I mean, I went in college. I don't think it was the most effective. My brother got murdered, so I kind of went and I feel like it didn't work. And then later on, I'm talking about 20 years, 10 years later or something. You know, I end up going by myself because I felt like I needed to. I felt like I wasn't, you know, I was lashing out. I just didn't feel like I was myself. I had stuff going on. I mean, even that Lambo accident, I wasn't thinking the most efficient. I wasn't, you know what I mean? I was annoyed. I was kind of paranoid driving. You know what I mean? So you sometimes have to look at yourself and realize, you know, it's something you can do, because if at the end of the day, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting your family and you're hurting your friends, you're losing business, you're losing money, just because the way you are acting. I mean, and it's not on purpose, but it's just something that you kind of have to reach down and pull out. And not to mention with, like me and my wife went through marriage counseling, and that is so dope because sometimes you can't communicate what you want to your wife. Sometimes you need a third party, you know, counselor just to help. And they may not even be for you that day. It might just be for her, or it might just be for you, but it pulls that stuff out that you need so you can communicate effectively. And then you guys are both running efficiently. And it just feels so much better. It's like you don't realize the weight you're holding until the weight is gone.
I think generally.
Do you feel like, and I'm sorry to cut you off, man, but like, do you feel like therapists might paint a certain narrative for you so you can keep coming back and, you know, telling you you have these problems, telling you this, telling you that? Because, like, what I'm saying is, though, I don't trust doctors too much, right? Like, as far as I medical
doctors. Damn, Donald, we don't trust you as a therapist.
That's what I'm getting.
Listen, don't feel bad. Lewis told Justin the other day he don't trust pastors either, so he don't trust nobody.
Well, Lewis
is
out here,
man.
He's just out here.
Lou out here in the streets.
It is what it is. They feel like they just tell you, not all medical doctors, you know what I'm saying? I know this, but I just feel like sometimes they're just trying to tell you stuff so you can just deal with your problems. And here's some medicine, come back and get some more. Or, you know, so with therapists in the whole medical field or whatever, doctor field, just, I don't know, I just feel like they might, okay, if I tell them I got a problem with anxiety, well, they'll say, well, I'm come back next week and pay me the other $400 for another session.
Nah, you got to be honest with yourself.
My narrative for me too, right. You know what I mean?
But you know what I've experienced with some of these therapists is that they really love what they do, and they really, I mean, not say all of them, most of them want to help you. I mean, they feel good when they help your relationship progress to or get to a better place. So Or would someone take your money? Probably so. But I mean, you—that's when you do some analyzing. That's why you pretty much interview some of these therapists and see what kind of feeling you get from them. If you're not getting what you think you need to get out of it, then you might need to find go to someone else. But at the end of the day, it's a hard question. I mean, I think for most of them, they're in it because they love it. So
I like what Aaliyah said right there. That's comforting.
No, she jumped in there, but we're gonna transition because I know y'all want to keep hitting this one, but we're gonna move it on. We're gonna
have to run the part two. I don't hate all therapists. I know it's for everybody.
Can we allow me to defend myself?
Right.
No, sir. Listen, we don't like therapists, so we got to come back for part two to defend yourself.
We're just gonna
leave it there. Nope. Therapists out here taking all the money. We're leaving it there.
Call me later, Donald. We'll talk about it.
All right, so we gonna run this one. So in it. So listen, y'all just seen the debate, man. So if I ask a question, you can jump on it, or you can do what Donald Trump did and go ahead and answer whatever question you want to answer. It's whatever. I'm just saying. But so the next one is: has social media made it easier or harder in relationships today?
I go harder. Pause.
If you say harder, you got to elaborate.
Lou got to chill out, man.
Because, that's the argument. Why you like that girl picture? Or why you did this? And why you sharing this? That just opens up the floodgates for argument, right?
Yeah.
Is that the point that we're trying to make? Okay. Is that what
that
we're
is the
like,
point?
You can see a girl's picture and just like it because you know her. Right. Or you might say, hey, good picture. And then that opens the argument.
Right. And I agree. Like, you can just click on a twerk video one time and that's all in your feed. Like,
I can't even open my IG in public anymore, bro.
Right.
Sir, what are you looking at? You can't open your IG. Never mind.
Hey, don't jump me in my past, tonight. My guy.
No, but I think even for sometimes I say before social media, you were able to connect and communicate with some relationships. The other person is just staring at the phone, clicking texts, looking at messages. You know what I mean? It's just you can't even have a conversation with the cell phone without the social
media. That's a whole other aspect.
That's a whole, right.
Right. That's so, yeah.
Yeah, I think relationships are definitely become.
Oh, harder. I like what Aaliyah said. Sorry.
Yeah. Though. Yeah. No, I like. I think relationships have definitely become more difficult because of social media, and I think life in general has become more difficult because of social media because of comparison, right? And one of the things I've learned about comparison is that comparison is a killer to happiness. So if I'm constantly comparing myself to, the internet, right? You're going to kill your own happiness because you're going to think that you're never enough,
right?
You're going to think that, man, I'm good, but I'm not here, so I must not be that great, or whatever. So I think social media has definitely been made it more difficult, just because people are comparing their relationships honestly, they're comparing their relationships to a lot of things that don't really exist,
right? Mm. But I also like that it can push a relationship. Like, you might see an outfit on there and might want to swag up like this, or your girl might be, what if she dressing bummy and sees something on social media and really gets into doing her hair and her nails and kind of, It pushes, it can push people, and it can also, I agree on both sides. I mean, I think it can do a little bit of both, but.
What was the question? My bad, man. I had to restart.
No, you good. So the question is, has social media made it easier or harder?
More difficult today. More difficult.
Can't even let him finish the sentence.
More difficult.
He was already on it.
I'm more difficult. I'm not sure what you guys said. I said I was resetting, but I feel it's made it more difficult for the simple fact that one, you have easier access to outs.
Right.
You know what I mean? If I don't want to deal with you now, I have so many more options. One, two, I think one of you guys touched base on it where it does set like a false environment of what it's supposed to be. You know what I mean? Of, you know, a lot of people, you know, you look at one thing I've learned doing this podcast shit and meeting people along my way is everything isn't as it always seems.
That's a fact. That's
you see what
fact.
I'm saying? You know, it might look good on TV, but it doesn't necessarily mean it is good. You know
that's
what I mean? And that's where that very important phrase, you know, the grass isn't always greener on the other side comes into effect. You know, people be like, oh, well, you know, these people are doing good and these people are doing good. And look at that couple and look at this couple. But what you don't see is, you know, the arguments at night. You don't see, you know, where they're not talking to each other for 3-4 days. You don't see where he's calling her out her name or she's calling him out his name. You don't see, you know, you don't see any of that friction. All you see is the good. So I think a lot of times social media has done a lot more negative and a lot more damage than it's done good in terms of relationship. As I've gotten older and, you know, I'm blessed that my parents are still here and that I'm able to, you know, have dialogue with them and whatnot. It's crazy because we talk about stuff in my childhood between them and they tell me things, excuse me. And I'm like, damn, I didn't even know that shit was happening.
Right.
You know, like, you know, or the famous adage where they say, you know, well, we, you know, things, there was other things that were more important than our marriage. You know what I'm saying? And people will say, you know, we raised our kids, you know, our job and our objective was to raise our family, our kids, make sure that, you know, the house was good and taken care of, made sure all the bills were, you know, taken care of. And, you know, yeah, your father cheated on me all the time, you know, or, you know, your mother stepped out of our marriage or, you know, vice versa. You didn't see that. You know what I mean? Nowadays, with social media, somebody gonna know something.
Right.
And even if it's not necessarily that, social media also has put in a false pretense of what things could be. Nowadays, you got people be like, oh, she feeling me, bro. Why? Because she gave you 20 likes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's changed a lot of people's mindsets and ways of what it is to interact with, you know, other people.
I think Vic Gurley's answer there, man. If you can go back to what Vic said.
Let me see what he said.
Hey, I run a Vic. There you go.
Yeah, everyone has access to everyone. That, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It's easy to find greener. That's a fact right there, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely, bro. Right?
Yeah. It's so easy, that's dope.
For the most part, social is just a highlight reel of people's lives. Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's the good stuff. It's the good. You don't put the bad stuff. You put the good shit.
I also think people share too much of their lives on social media. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think, like, too much of their personal lives on social media. You know what I mean? And I think that can also play a role. You know, like, I heard one person say this, too. Like, you know, if you go through something, like if you make something public, then you have to go through it in public.
Absolutely.
Right. And so I think that sometimes we have to be a little bit more, more discreet. Right. No, it's not about hiding people, but sometimes it is about privacy.
Privacy is very, but very,
it is about privacy.
You know, the interesting thing with that is kind of what I wrote in the book with Safari, the lore of celebrity dating. It was kind of like these celebrities have to put their lives in front of social media, in front of the camera, and they are ripped apart. You know what I mean? Rather if it's good or it's bad. So it's for them, it's just really learning how to deal with it. You know what I mean? Yeah. We see it on TV and we laugh about it, but it's a real thing, and it eats at people and it destroys relationships. I mean, social media, as good as it can be, it can also be something horrible.
Right. But I'd also think that, sorry if I cut you off.
No, go ahead. You good. I'm done.
But I was going to say, like, but see, with celebrities and stuff like that, a lot of times they have a vested interest in being on social media, right? Mm. They have a vested interest in us talking about their lives and their relationships and stuff like that. The average everyday person doesn't have a vested interest in it. Mm. And so I think that's where the difference comes into play. you know, if you know, because the more, you know, the more attention that they that a celebrity gets, the more money that they can generate, right, off of these types of conversations, good, bad, or indifferent, right? So actually one of the 48 laws of power is to attract attention by all means. But for the average everyday person, they don't have that same luxury. So although I agree with the idea of, like, it can damage their relationships as well as it can damage ours, I also feel like there's a vested interest in them sharing their life or making their lives public, as opposed to maybe the normal everyday person that's, you know, just, you know, working, you know, at JCPenney's or something like that.
Right. But at the end of the day, they are still human. I mean, some of the narratives that they paint are real ugly. But honestly, if you look on social media, if you got, you know, you in a group, you got a bunch of friends, your friends might hate on you, and then you got everybody coming after you. You got people trying to cyberbully you. So it's I mean, of course, celebrities have a whole nother demographic. It's a whole situation. They're on TMZ. But I mean, for the everyday person, it's not as hard, but it can be. I mean, just depending on what happened and what they put on there.
Hey, Ken just said that she made a good point, man. Comparison is the thief of joy.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
See what I'm saying? When you compare somebody or something to something else, you can't enjoy that moment or that accomplishment. You know what I mean? Be like, okay, hey, I bought my first car. It was a Dodge Neon. You know what I'm saying? And to be like, oh, but Lou bought a Corvette T-top. You know what I'm saying? And then be like, damn, but I mean, I bought a car. You know what I'm saying? The point is I bought a car. You know what I mean? And that comparison being, that is a very, very, very true statement. Very true statement.
Yeah, I'm petty. You don't need to be celebrating. You bought a Dodge Neon.
Hey, man, hold on, bro. Hey, listen. I had to bring that in there just in case. My boy Jason been talking about the Lambo. You know what I'm saying? Just the light flex.
He also dropped like two books he done wrote too. So.
Yeah.
Don't y'all do that to my boy. Listen, Jason, that dude. So listen.
Yeah. He's
listen,
that guy.
Offline, I'm gonna tell y'all. Listen, when I first met him, it was at his wedding, and we was on a yacht. We was on a boat yacht.
See,
it was. Everybody was wearing J's, and I'm sitting there looking like broke little boy, like, damn little warehouse worker. but what I learned through that process is that, man, everybody has their struggles. Just hearing Jason talk now, he talking about how his brother was murdered. My brother was murdered, and I never dealt with that trauma, which now plays out in some of the things that I've done. It definitely got me kicked out of college because it happened right before I was going to start college. My brother getting murdered. Yeah, my grandma's dying like right behind each other. I went into college with a chip on my shoulder and I never dealt with that shit. Right. I just kind of went through life and I met my wife, well, my girlfriend, Irina, who became eventually became my wife. And we just kind of went through our own trauma together. Like, she knew it was an issue, but over time I've learned not to let it be as expressive as it was back then.
But yeah.
I was a motherfucker back then. Like, oh my God.
Because you saw what it cost you.
But I saw what it cost me. And I didn't. And once I knew that I had somebody, that was real, and I'll be transparent with this one. And I think God puts things in our paths for a certain reason. Absolutely. My brother was murdered on June 3rd. My wife's birthday is June 3rd.
Wow.
So,
okay. God, tell your sorrows.
God was my therapist. I wasn't paying attention.
It's a joy, bro.
Yeah.
That's
what's fellas, up. I appreciate y'all, man, but I gotta go, man.
Yeah, I gotta give too, man. I loved it.
My boys are at work.
We finna wrap this up. Y'all kept the conversation going. You know me, I like to start and stop on time. But y'all was in, so I wasn't gonna stop.
Donna, always ready to cut off the pod, man.
Nah, listen, because we'll be going. It'd be like 4 hours, and we still be live.
Right.
I got a little bit more structure than that. We ain't going all the way live, but before we close it out, listen. First off, fellas, thank y'all for giving y'all time and y'all energy today. I know y'all could have been doing something else, but y'all chose to do this with me, and I appreciate it. I definitely think we need to run these conversations back in different formats and different ways, and I hope that y'all open for it. So I hope we can do this again.
I mean, hey, I'm locked in, bro. Let's go.
We locked in. Bro. I definitely want to give each one of y'all an opportunity to reintroduce yourselves, put your socials out there, and let the people know where they can find you. So that way, when we close this thing out, maybe y'all gain some listeners, gain some followers, gain some more attention, and vice versa.
Yeah. You know what it is. I'm your boy, Olu, from the This, That, The Other podcast. Listen, just look for This, That, The Other on all social media. I just want to say August 10th is going down.
Absolutely.
First, the 100th episode celebration, 7 to 11, is going down, man. Listen, everybody's invited, Kevin. When you send me that news today, I was so excited, bro. You're coming. You and Edwina are coming. Jason, if you just so happen to be in town, in Florida on August 10th. We got Lee Jet performing. We got King Rap performing. We got Armani performing. We're going to do a live episode. It's all hosted by Big Sis Marshina. Chat with China is going down, man. We got some big heavy hitters in the building. A lot of networking going on, man. Put that shit on, too.
Put that shit on. It's your boy, Ant St. James. You can find me on Facebook, Ant St. James. Like I said before, I'm 1/4 of the This, That, and the Other podcast. My Instagram is Saint So Wavy, all together, one word, 2 V's, 8 4. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you, Kevin, for having me on the show, man. It's always love.
Yes, sir.
Yo, it's Jason Gaving. I got the best way to probably reach me is probably my one of my Instagrams is J and then GATH23, and then that spirals to the businesses, to my other TikToks and Instagrams. I mean, there's so many. I got somebody else working, some of my VAs work on some of the stuff, but that's probably the best way to reach that. Also, if you want to grab that book, the Lure Celebrity Dating with Safari, we're gonna have some interviews coming on that later during this fall, and then the launch code Unleash. It's about habits, so that's an amazing book just to make you more efficient as a person. So, I love you.
Salute.
Perfect. It's Donald Lewis. You can follow me on Instagram, Donald_Lewis863, DONALD_LEWIS863. I want to shout out to Kevin and Boss Fest and everything you guys are doing. You guys are doing really, really big things. Shout out to This, That, and the Other podcast, my man Saint, my man Lou, you know. Y'all like family.
Always love.
Even shout out to Jason, man. Pleasure meeting you, man.
You too, bro. Absolutely.
Love your conversation piece, bro. You too, bro. You know what I mean? One day we'll be able to link up and do some work together, man. I like what you're doing, man. So shout out to everybody. Thank you for all guys for tuning in. We appreciate y'all.
Yes, Lord. And you can catch Don on Plenty of Fish.
Watch out, man.
Or ChristianMingle.com.
Slide to Atlanta, bro. You'll find something real quick.
You might find something you don't want to find.
Hey, listen, I already got something out here. I'm cool right now.
Hey, you see? You see?
I'm cool. Y'all trying to get me in trouble.
We gonna get you in trouble. So, fellas, definitely thank y'all for coming out, being a part of the Boss Fest podcast. If you did not know, Boss Fest is a event. The podcast is just a pre-show. The event is the Boss Fest event that goes down. It's going down October 6th, Tampa, Florida. We're going to have Jason on the stage giving us our mindset treatment. So, listen, if y'all done already heard the man writing books, he done flipped the Lambo. Listen, that boy got a story to tell. So, y'all definitely want to be in the room to hear this stuff. Please follow all these gentlemen, This, That, and the Other podcast, man. Congratulations to you boys, man. Listen, man, I love the energy y'all doing, man. Anytime y'all doing something, you know, I'm down with it. I want to be a part of it. And Donald, I done told you 1,000 times you need to make these moves. You around the right people. You doing the right thing. We gotta get you to that space so your message can truly be felt by everybody, because you got something positive to say, man. And I just, I like surrounding myself with positive men that's giving positive energy. But October 6th, Boss Fest is going down. The website is live, I believe. Yay. The website is live. So if you want to get your tickets, you can go get your tickets there. But thank y'all for joining the pod. We're going to be out. I'll let y'all catch the rest of the BET Awards.
Peace out. Salute. We out.
Salute. We out.